Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the power of your word and the work of your Holy Spirit. May your Holy Spirit work in your word tonight to increase in us our love for you, our love for ourselves, and our love for each other. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The lesson for tonight comes from St. Matthew, the 20th chapter, verses 20 through 28. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the ten heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become the great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Our devotion for tonight from our booklet says, "A ransom is a sum of money that one person demands of another in order to get something back that the first person stole from the second." This verse tells us that Jesus came to give his life as a ransom. This means that in the middle of a fight between good and evil, Jesus basically said, "Let me be the treasure that sets everyone free." It was an unimaginable gift that Jesus gave himself through the way he lived his life and through his death and his whole being, so that we could live with him forever. You have the same ability to make your life a gift of love for others. It won't always be easy. You won't always feel like serving. Love anyway. Someone needs you in order to see Jesus today. It really is mind-boggling when you think about it, that here Jesus gave himself as a ransom, that he gave himself as the price to buy us back from Satan, because Satan stole us. He stole us right from the hand of God. So did death, and so did sin. And Jesus, in this unimaginable way, unthinkable way, through the plan of God, offers himself, his whole life, his very being, all that he is, all that he does, as the treasure or the price to buy us, to redeem us back. That's what redeem means, to buy us back from sin, death, and the devil. Max Lucado, many years ago, had the opportunity to visit a prison in Brazil. It was run by a Christian organization called Prison Fellowship Brazil. It was one of the first of its type in the world. And it once was the most notorious prison in all the world. The recidivism rate was about 100% at this prison, if you made it out alive, because the murder rate was almost 100%, because that's just what happened at this prison. The prisoners fought, they killed each other, and it wasn't a pleasant place. In fact, most guards were scared to death to work there. But they did, and they got paid well for it. So Max decided to visit this prison. And he was shocked when he arrived at the prison because the gentleman who held the keys and opened the gate to let him in was not a guard, but a prisoner at the prison. He welcomed him in. And he started talking to Max, and he said, "You know, would you like to tour of the prison? Would you like to see what we do here?" And Max said, "Yes." And so they walked through the yard, and everywhere Max looked, he could see people enjoying what they were doing, working in the land and growing vegetables and fruits and cleaning and doing chores, and they were happy. They enjoyed life. They were having fun. There were guys laying out on blankets, drawing the clouds. They were fun. They had a good time. Nobody was behind any gates. Nobody was behind any cell bars. They were out enjoying themselves. He said, "Well, this is interesting." So they walk inside the prison. And as he walks inside the prison, they go through a series of classrooms. And on all the classroom walls were inspirational Bible verses, Bibles in every room, Bible teachers, pastors, teaching lessons, offering these students degrees in basic theology. In fact, some of them being trained to be pastors or clergy, even though they had a life sentence at this Christian prison. Max was shocked. It was unbelievable to see what was going on. So Max asked some questions. He said, what is your recidivism rate? How many people return once they get out of here? And he says, our recidivism rate is about 4%. 4%? That's unheard of. That's unheard of. That's immensely low. So they started down this long corridor, and it kind of went downhill a little bit and underground. And there were no windows, and it was really dark, and it smelled very musty. It smelled dirty. It kind of almost smelled like death. And Max said, well, where are we going? And he says, well, we're going to the most notorious cell in the prison. And I have to warn you, it's our solitary confinement cell. Bad things happened in here. There are blood stains on the walls and the floor. You may not want to go in, but at least you can see where it's at. And he got very quiet. And all you could hear on the stone floor was their footsteps walking towards this door. And as they got to the door, the prisoner with the keys said, I have to tell you, it only houses one prisoner these days, and it's a pretty gory sight. You may not want to go in. And Max was like, well, I got to see, so let's go in. Let me minister to this person. Let me go in and see what's happening to this one person in the solitary confinement cell. So very slowly, the prisoner, tour guide, put his key into the cell and began to open the squeaky door. Light began to shine into the room, and Max noticed that on the wall was hanging a crucifix of Jesus. A crucifix with a bloody side, blood on his brows, and blood on his nail-marked hands and feet. Max was speechless. The prisoner simply turned and said to him, he's doing time for the rest of us so that we can be free. Isn't that what Jesus has done in our ransom? He did the time for you and for me so that we can be free. So that we can be free to be his servants. So that we can be free to love people. So that we can be free from sin, death, and the devil. So that we can be free to live forever. In our lesson for tonight, it's interesting that James and John's mother comes to Jesus and he says, do a favor for me. I'll let one of these guys sit at your right, one at your left, and you know, it'll be great. And Jesus says, wait, no, that's not my position to do. I can't do that. That's what the Father has reserved. Then he looks at James and John and says, you know, I'm going to drink this cup. Can you drink of my cup? And not knowing what they would say, because he's God, they say, sure, we can drink of the cup, Jesus referencing his death. And he says, you surely will drink from my cup, which they did drink from his cup, but you can't sit at my right and left. That's reserved for people from the kingdom. And so he goes back to the disciples, and the disciples were a little angry when they found out. I guess I would be too pretty jealous, wouldn't you? I'd be jealous. What? Their mom came? Well, my mom can come too. In fact, my dad can come. He'll write a letter to you, and he's more important than they are, so maybe his letter will get me at your right hand and my brother at your left hand. And Jesus calms them down, and he says to them, listen, you guys have to understand something. If you want to be great, you have to be the least. If you want to be great, you have to be a servant. If you want to be great, you've got to be a slave to others. For whoever wants to be great in my kingdom must be a servant. You see, it's just like Jesus, isn't it? Just like Jesus, he came with the greatest love, with the greatest power, with the greatest gift, with the greatest mercy, with the greatest gift. He came to serve you and me. He came into this world as a tiny baby and grew up his life, living it sin-free. Then he was tempted like you and I are tempted, but he didn't fall into sin so that we could be credited with his righteousness. And then he goes on without any sin in his life to take the punishment that we deserved, sin, death, and the devil, that punishment which we deserved, to take it on himself to buy us back from sin, death, and the devil, to say to Satan, you no longer have control over my people. I have redeemed them. I have bought them back. I've set them free. I have forgiven them, and I will give them eternal life. This is what Jesus has done for us. This is the power of our Almighty God. And not only that, in his death, because of his perfect righteousness, he does this thing called the joyous exchange, as if we needed anything else. And he says, now when God looks at you, he's going to see my righteousness. He'll see you as perfect. And I'm going to take on your sinfulness. He who had no sin became sin so that we might be the very righteousness of God, St. Paul says. You see, the harsh reality of our world, our families, and our lives is this. We must be willing to give our lives for the good of others. Because this is what Jesus did. This is what Jesus did. And in reality, in our own lives, we have the ability to not do that. We cannot choose to give our lives to others. We can't choose to follow Jesus. But we can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, live in sanctification. And when we live in sanctification, it does give us the ability to stand up and say, I do choose, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to live my life in service to others. You see, this redemption that Jesus gave us, this ransom that he paid, this work he did for you and for me, this was the greatest act of love, right? And Jesus says to us, the greatest commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right? That's what he says. And what he's saying is, love your neighbor as I have loved you. Serve them. Give up your life for them. Don't be selfish. Don't be greedy. Give as I have given to you. Now, this is not what the world teaches today, and it's really not like we like to hear. But the reality is, we must be willing to give our lives for others. Loving people is hard work. Loving people is hard work. There are some people that sometimes I wonder if it's possible to love them. But it doesn't matter if I think it's impossible to love them. I'm called to love them. It's work, and it takes practice. Through prayer and devotion and through asking Jesus to make our hearts as his heart. Loving people who don't deserve it is a miserable experience. It can be until we come to the place of understanding what forgiveness is and we release them to Jesus. Loving people sometimes can be uncomfortable. I've been in a congregation once in my life where loving them was really uncomfortable. But I had to do it because they paid me. No, I had to do it because Jesus said to do it. Praying, listening, small gestures we talked about on Sunday, smiling at people, all of these things are ways in which we can truly love somebody. Just tonight, one of our members came in and said, there's a homeless guy sitting out at the edge of our parking lot. What can we do? So we took him out some food and a bus pass and prayed with him. It's simply loving people. He was shocked that we came out. He didn't even ask for anything. We just showed up because we're called to love people. All this was true for Jesus because he loved us. And all this is true for us because Jesus loves us. As we go through this life, people need Jesus. Perhaps the greatest act of love that we can give to our world and our society, to our children, to our friends, to our coworkers, to our neighbors, is the gift of Jesus. Because people need Jesus. If you look at our world today and don't see that people need Jesus, you probably need to drink more coffee or something because your brain's not working right. People need Jesus. People need us. Because if we aren't there to give them Jesus, how can they hear? How can they experience? How can they see Jesus? It's in the act of our daily living. It's in the act of our daily loving. It's in the act of our very presence. It's in the act of what we do with each other where we show people who Jesus is. And it's in those acts where they experience the power of his love through us. Our activity for tonight says, see if you can find tiny ways to serve others today, to make your life a gift of love in secret. Put someone else's dishes on the counter. Pick up garbage that you did not leave. Say something kind that you would not normally say. Choose to be last instead of first. Give someone else the remote control. Oh, that's hard. Man, whew. Play someone else's favorite game. Do a chore without being asked. Dear brothers and sisters, it's not hard. Start small and practice. And the Holy Spirit will grow you. And as he grows you in the act of love, people will know Jesus and hearts and lives, and eventually our world will change. In the name of Jesus, amen.